All right. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn back to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. I'm just going to read one verse as we begin this morning. And I want to apologize to you. I was doing a study, but I got sick this week, and I really didn't get to finish all of it. But nonetheless, we're going to go forward with it. But, you know, the Bible has much to say about works or good works. And one of the places in Hebrews chapter 13, it lists a whole lot of things in that chapter, and those accumulate or come down to what he says in verse 21, is which verse we're going to read. As soon as you find that, go ahead and stand. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. And he's talking about those works that we are to attempt or actually to accomplish as we're living on this earth. And of course, the purpose we're living here is for Him and not for ourselves. And that's again part of the struggle we have, is learning how to do that. But here in verse 21, Hebrews chapter 13, he says, "Make you perfect and every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we come to you this morning, that you would continue to guide and direct in our lives, that you would help us as we look at your word this morning, again, to help us understand a little bit about good works and the purpose of those. And Father, that you might speak to each one of our hearts, that you might challenge us to take a step of faith, that we might look to you and trust you in all things. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So here, Paul, I believe it's Paul, some have, do not, but that Paul is writing to the Hebrews here, that's the Jewish nation, and he goes through and he says a lot of things. We're not going to read the chapter over again, but he talks about these things as good works. He talks about brotherly love in the first verse. He talks about hospitality. He talks about remembering those in bonds. He talks about marriage, contentment, submitting to those who have the rule over you and have been taught the word, remembering Jesus' sacrifice, and that we would do His good will to please Him. And that's the purpose, isn't it? Is to please Him. That's why we were created, the Bible teaches us and tells us. And so as we think about this, these words, or this particular word, work, and try to, you know, look at that a little bit this morning, I want to look at what Jesus has done. You know, He came and He said He finished the work, or He said, "I have finished." And we want to see and understand what that was and understand what He wants us to do today as good works. And we see here in Hebrews chapter 21, I'll read it again, verse 13 says, "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will." That word perfect means complete or fully furnished, okay? "In every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Again, we can't do this good work on our own, and that's what this verse tells us. It tells us that it's in Jesus Christ that we're able to accomplish this. And so as a person who is born again, knows Christ as their Savior, these things can only be done through God and His help, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll look at that this morning. So Jesus came to do a work. I looked at that word work, and there are 10 different Greek words that are translated into work, okay? And it's mentioned just the word work, because if you add an S to it, there are 118 more words that are works, and there are 4 different Greek words for that. But anyway, I was looking up the word work, and I came up with the word work is used 70 times in 64 verses, and just the work, not the plural, and the majority is the Greek word ergon, okay? And it means to toil. It means an act. In other words, there's something that takes place. We're doing something, okay? And that's what it means. It's translated as ergon 48 times. It's translated as works, plural, 104 times. I'm talking about the Greek word ergon. It's translated deed 6 times, deed 16 times, doing once, and labor once. So it's translated as different words as well. So not to confuse you, work itself has different Greek words, 10 of them, and that's not the plural. The plural has 4 more, so there's 14 if you look at it that way. But then if you go and you look up the word ergon, which is the Greek word that's majority times used in those verses, you'll see that is used 176 times in 161 verses. And it translates these different words, work, works, deed, deeds, doing, and labor. Now I've got you confused. I didn't mean to, but we're looking at the word work. So Jesus' work was to do the will of the Father. The first place it's mentioned when you type it in or whatever, go to John chapter 4 this morning. John chapter 4 in your Bibles. And we'll probably be moving around the Bible this morning, so get your fingers warmed up. And someone already told me they're cold. Well, we'll at least get your hands moving. Maybe you'll get a little warmed up. But in John chapter 4, we want to see verse 34. Now, the context of this is Jesus met the woman at the well. And remember, he ministered to her and talked to her. And she put her faith and trust in him. She went and told all her friends in Samaria there. And she's bringing them out. So as soon as she trusted Christ, she went and she became an evangelist that quick. And that's what happens often with Christians. When they get saved, they want to go tell somebody else and let them know that something changed in their life, because it is a dramatic thing that happens. And so nonetheless, he's going through there. His disciples were not with him at this time, and they went into Samaria to buy food. That's what they were looking for. And they were with him. And we're looking at verse 34, but verse 35, let's see here. Maybe I'll pick it up here. Verse 31. In John chapter 4 says, In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. So they were concerned that he would eat food. Okay. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Like somebody gave him something to eat because he hadn't eaten. Jesus saith unto them, My meat, okay, my sustenance, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's what Jesus came for, is to finish the Father's work. And so we see that this point that we're making today is what was Jesus' purpose to be here? He didn't care about the food. He cared, his meat was, his substance was to do the will of God. And that was to finish his work. And so we see that word meat means food. The word will is a determination or purpose. The phrase to finish is the same Greek word we translate perfect or complete. Okay. And so he's doing the Father's work, or the Father's bidding. That's why he came. Jesus' work was orchestrated by the Father himself. In John chapter 5, turn over there if you would. Look at verse 19. In John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus is sharing again. They were trying to kill him. And in verse 19 says, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that he may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son of Man, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. So he's talking about everything he's done, the Father has shown him he's to do. He's doing the Father's will. And of course, the end of this work that we're talking about, is, we know, leading us to the cross. That's where Jesus is going to finish that work. Turn to John chapter 17, if you would. John chapter 17. Jesus is praying here. We're just going to listen to some of the words that he shared. In John chapter 17, let's begin in verse 1. It says, These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee. What hour is he talking about? He's talking about the hour that he's going to be betrayed and he's going to go to the cross. Okay, that's what he's talking about here. He's praying and praying to the Father. He says, verse 2, As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Again, Jesus is talking about his death is going to give power for anybody that believes in him to have eternal life. He says, And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So he's praying to the Father. He's telling him, I've finished the work. Now, we're going to know when he gets to the cross, he's going to say those words, it is finished. That is the complete finishing of what Christ came for. Jesus Christ didn't come to live and to seek out and have fun and do all those things. He came for one purpose. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And when he died on the cross and finished the work, he did that for all humanity and mankind. Verse 5 says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." He's talking about those of his apostles and disciples that were following him. He says, "Now they have known all that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee." So they know that Jesus Christ is of the Father. Of course, we know Jesus to be God. Verse 8 says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." Verse 10 says, "And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." And so he's talking about this, and now he's going to turn and say, "I'm no more." He says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thy own name those which thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." So he's talking about the fact that God the Father, he's praying to God the Father here, that God the Father has given him a work to do, and he has done that work on this earth. And a lot of that work had to do with the fact that he revealed himself as Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Son of God, as Jesus who is God. He did that through miracles. He did that as he was here through the Word of God, as he spoke the very words of God, which he is God, so his words are God as well. And he did this. But the final work was when he went to the cross in John 19:30. It says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." He finished and completed that task. He finished the work that the Father had sent for him. So what's that work all about? What are we talking about here? And of course, that work we know to be John chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So that was the work, and he finished that work. He came to do that. He completed that work. But then, why are we here? Let's look at verse 14 of John chapter 17, same place you have your Bibles open. It says, he says, "I have given them thy word," talking about those that are left behind. We've all heard that series, Left Behind. That's talking about the rapture. He's talking about those he has left behind when he has ascended, okay? Went to the cross, died, buried, rose again. He says, "Those that I have left behind, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." In other words, these people were transformed. Their lives were different. They were no longer like everybody else. The Holy Spirit was guiding them and directing them in a different way than up to this point, since we received Christ and were baptized by the Holy Spirit in Acts. But yet, nonetheless, he told them that he would give them the Comforter, and of course, he's not dead yet. And verse 15 says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world." Now, I used to scratch my head. When I came to that verse, I thought, what in the world is he doing? He's saying, "God, please leave them here." And I'm thinking, really? We're going to be here still? And he's telling us that we're going to be left behind, if you will, for a purpose. And that purpose is that we might continue the work that Jesus Christ has done. He says in verse 15, he says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil." Jesus is praying to the Father that we would be kept from evil. That we're here, but we shouldn't participate in evil. He says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And then he says, verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And what that statement says is, sanctify means holy. Okay, that's what it means to be holy. He says, make them holy through thy what? Truth. And then he tells us what the truth is. He says, thy word is truth. And so here is a work of God. This is something that we are left behind to do and to accomplish. This is, would be considered one of those things that we would call a good work. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to be here for a purpose. And that purpose, again, like I said, yes, we need to support our families. We need to take care of our families. All those things are true. But there is a work that we're to do, and that is to glorify God by showing others that Jesus Christ is alive and real, and He's in us today. So the purpose is that we would continue this work. In verse 18, that same chapter says, "As thou hast sent me," this is Jesus speaking to the Father, praying, "into the world, even so have I sent them into the world." Now, what is that saying? "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." Can I suggest or take the step and say that's the same purpose that we're here for today, that know Christ as our Savior? Is that why we're still on this earth? Is that why God has left us behind, if you will? Is to seek and to save that which is lost? To make much about God and tell them about Jesus? Is that why we're here? I think so. I think that would be considered a good work. And we're here to continue that work. We're here to shine the light as Jesus shined the light. In John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus says, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world," he said. And John chapter 8, verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And so those who have put their faith and trust in Christ are the light of life, it says. What does that mean, light of life? That means we, as we reflect Christ in our lives, we have something that people don't know about. And that's to have everlasting life through Jesus Christ. We are that life. We have that life. And we have that life to give to others, to reciprocate. I think so often, though, we do, as it speaks of in Matthew chapter 5. Go ahead and turn over there. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus was the light as long as he was on this earth, but he left this earth. He told us he would give us the Spirit of God. Again, this is not done in our flesh. It's not something we have to work up or try to do. It's something that's done by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that resides in the believer. Those who are born again and trusted Christ, they have the Spirit of God living in them, and that ought to motivate us and move us to be that light, because the Spirit is light. And so as we look at Matthew chapter 5, Jesus was making this statement here as he was sharing on the Sermon on the Mount. He says in verse 14, he says, "Ye are the light of the world." He says, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And then he said this. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So why are we to let our light shine? Well, ultimately, is that they would glorify God, right? But as we let our light shine, and how we do that is that they would see the good works. That's what we're trying to find out. What are good works? Well, I think first off, we know that good works has to do with holiness. Good works has to do with the mission that Jesus came for, to seek and to save that which is lost. And so the purpose, I would suggest, the majority of everything, is that we would be about God's business and letting people know about Jesus Christ. Where do we do those opportunities? When can we do that? I don't know about you, but I don't get out as much as most of you do. I don't have a full-time job that I go to. If I get out of town, it's once a week or something. But where do we do that? Every time we come into contact with somebody, we ought to have our light shining. I think sometimes we go out and we put the old basket on the light and we go about different places and nobody knows. That's that message I haven't preached yet, the camouflage Christian. But we go out and we don't talk about Jesus. We don't say anything about the Lord, and we just go about our business. Well, that's the world. That's what the world does. But as we, as Christians, born again Christians, our responsibility is to let the light shine and let them see our good works, that they may glorify the Father. How can they glorify the Father if they see our good works? Well, a good work is witnessing or testifying to somebody, telling somebody about Jesus. What's God done in your life? What can He do in their life? You know, there are people still out there. We don't know who they are, but they're seeking something. They're seeking something. And we have the answer. And they may be ready to hear the answer. Most people aren't. I'll be honest with you. It's like going fishing. If I go fishing, if I spend all day, I might catch a fish. I've gone fishing many times when I didn't catch anything. But if I never went to the lake and fished, how many fish would I catch? Zero. But if I go, at least I have the opportunity. And again, it's the Spirit of God that does the we throw in the line or we give the message, it's the Spirit of God that puts the fish on the hook, okay, if you will. But our responsibility is to give that, to let our light so shine, to help others to see that we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, to glorify God in those things that we do and how we present ourselves into the community of a world of lost people who are dying and going to hell. Go back to John chapter 17. I should have told you to hold your place there. But I want you to look at verse 20, what Jesus says here. John chapter 17. Verse 18, he said, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." So Christ, he's holy, and he's saying he was holy himself, that we also might be holy. Of course, he had to be holy or he couldn't save anybody, right? He was sinless, where we still have a problem with that. But nonetheless, when we put our faith in Christ, as far as God sees the sinner that puts his faith and trust in Christ, he sees somebody who is sanctified, somebody who's holy. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for us. But look what he says in verse 20. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone," talking about those who were walking with him, the apostles. But he says, "But for them also, which shall believe on me through their word." Who is there? That's those he left behind. We, who are left behind. Now, he's not saying our word itself, but our word that we have that God has given to us. That they would believe those that have put their faith and trust in Christ, that are willing to go out and do the good works the Bible teaches us that we're to do. So as we think about these, and I'm telling you, this study was, I didn't get anywhere where I wanted to get on it, but there's a lot of things involved here. One of the things, one of the first good works that anybody can do is believe. In John chapter 6, I'm just going to read the verses because of time. In verse 28 and 29, Jesus was sharing, I think it was talking about the bread of life to some folks there. And anyway, he mentioned the word labor, and they picked up on it. I think we shared this a while back. And they said, this is what they said. They said, "Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God?" They were asking this question, what do we need to do? And he said to them, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent." That is the first work that any person can do for God, is to put their faith and trust in God and believe by faith. And again, God does the drawing. How does he do it? Through the Word of God. And if we're not telling anybody about the Word of God, can he draw them? Is he going to draw them? Oh, that's somebody else's job. Somebody else can tell them about that. I don't need to do that. There's a lot of Christians in this church. Let them go do it. That's the problem, isn't it, sometimes? Everybody's saying let somebody else do it, and nobody's doing it. And that's what happens sometimes. We have that responsibility to help others see. We have friends we run shoulders with. We have people at work we talk to. How many times do we tell them about Jesus? And our talk has to match our what? Walk. That's right. So if we're acting like the heathen and we're trying to tell them about Christ, what's that look like? Confusion, does it not? That's why we want to walk the walk so we can talk the talk, that they can put their faith and trust in Christ. And who gets the glory? God the Father. That's a good work. That's what we're called to do. We're called to do good works, it tells us in Hebrews, which is the will of God. But the first good work is putting your faith and trust in Christ, and people need to hear that. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Sometimes I wonder, does it really mean what that says? Okay, I put my faith in Christ. Now, is all things new? I think there should be a beginning of that anyway. There should be a desire. There should be something that wants to drive you to find out, because now you have the Spirit of God living in you, right? Doesn't that Spirit of God do anything? Or is it just something that we think we have and don't have? I know what that feels like. Been there, done that. It's something that when you get it, you know it. It is a motivating factor in your life to do that which God would have you to do. And if it's not there, you don't have that motivation, then my question is, do you have the Spirit? It doesn't make sense if you, according to the Scripture, because you're going to have fruit. You're going to have fruit that that you're going to want to serve God, do those works, and that's how the fruit comes. It's a new life. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works," that's that word again, "lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." In other words, when we put our faith and trust in Christ, it wasn't by our works we did it, it was by faith. And once we had that faith and we trusted Christ, then we realized that we are His workmanship. That that word workmanship means product. You're a product of God. You're a product of God. And what is that product for? We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what we're here for. And they were ordained from the foundation of the world, it says. So we are new creatures that have put ourselves under God's hand to control. We are His workmanship. We are His product. Now, that's not easy to do. Can Christians put their faith and trust in Christ and not grow? You better believe it. How does that happen? How can that happen? Because they're not in the Word of God. If you're not in the Word of God, how do you know what God's plan is? What do you know? How do you know what a good work is? What do you know? How do you know what God wants you to do? Well, Pastor, we're listening to you. Well, you need more than listening to me. You need the Bible, because it's a personal relationship. It's not about me and you. It's about you and Christ. And for all of us, that's true. And we want to know what that is. We have that desire, or should have that desire, so we can know more about Him. It's also not only our believing, but our learning is part of this as a good work too. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study. How's it go? "The study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Right? And you think about that. Why would Paul write that? Because he knows that we as Christians, we need to get into this thing and understand it does take some work, labor. It isn't easy to do. But you have to get in it because you want to get in it. Every one of us has had a job somewhere before. And I would dare say most of the people in this room, I don't know you personal testimony at work, so I can't say with 100% accuracy, but I believe most of what I know about you, most of you in here are very hard workers. That when you go to work, you do a good job. Well, Christ wants us to do a good job too for Him. For Him. And sometimes we leave Him out of it. Have you ever went to work without Jesus? Hold it, Pastor. Now, I know what the Bible says. I got born again. I got the Spirit of God living in me. I can't go anywhere without Jesus. That's true. But you can go and not mention His name. Not look like you're a Christian. Not act like you're a Christian. And nobody knows you're a Christian. Then you pop up one day and say, "Oh, I'm a Christian." When did that happen? 20 years ago. What happened from that time to this time? You didn't act like one for those 20 years. Well, if you're honest with yourself, if something happened in your life, maybe you got right with God. See, that's a good work. Why? Because it's speaking the word of truth. It's speaking God's word. If you sin, what do? You confess that sin. And God has the plan. It works out right every time we do it His way. When I try to do it my way, it never works out. It backfires on me all the time. And so it's important as God speaks to you that you turn around and do what He says for you to do. And you keep that walk close. But it's our learning. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And you know where you're going with this. But let's go there because we see again that word work. The word work. And this message is coming from because I'm trying to figure out, okay, what does this work mean? What does it say to do good works? I mean, that's kind of vague in a sense, unless you get in and study the Bible and find out what He's talking about. And so that's when I started the study and I didn't get done. So I'm sitting there scratching my head saying, should I even preach this? But I couldn't get around it. But anyway, in verse 11, He says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now, first off, let me ask you this. Where do these people come from? Now, we don't have apostles anymore, okay? And we don't have prophets anymore, but we still have pastors, and we have evangelists, and we have teachers. Where do those people come from? Well, Jesus, he walks around up in heaven and he points someone out and says, "You're a pastor, and come on." Maybe that's what he does. I don't know. But they don't drop out of the sky. They don't just fall on the earth. How does someone become a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist? How does that happen? Well, look at the next verse. This is what it tells us. It tells us how it happens. For the perfecting of the saints. Anybody know what that word saint means? Take a guess. I'll tell you, it means holiness. Look it up. I'm going, really? You know, sure. For those that are holy, perfecting the saints, those that have put their faith and trust in Christ. For what? The work, ergon, of the ministry. That's why God gave pastors. That's why God called people to go in the ministry, is to go and perfect other Christians so they can in turn do the ministry. That is the whole point of it. We're to continue to do this, and we're continue to do this till Christ comes back. Can you see God's plan? Can you see how things are working? He has a good work for us to do. And part of that good work is that we, every Christian, would get on board and start learning and growing so they can be doing the work of the ministry. Now, not everybody's going to end up being a pastor. In fact, I would suggest that none of you women be a pastor. I don't think that's scriptural, okay? But that doesn't mean you can tell your coworkers about the Lord. It doesn't mean you can teach women. It doesn't mean you can't teach children the things of God. Absolutely. So what is the good work? What is the purpose? Is that we might learn how to be the ministers to God's people. That's where he gets these pastors and teachers and evangelists. It is from people who have sat in the church, just like you're sitting now in a pew, and God has spoken to them, and they realize, my life is not my life, but it's Christ. And I'm no longer going to live for myself, but I'm going to follow God. Seek him hard. Thirst after righteousness. Not everybody's called into the ministry, but I believe if someone is thirsting after righteousness, God exalts people. We don't. If he sees a person's heart and sees their desire, he will give them. What did he say about bishops? I can't even remember. I'm just going to run over there for a second, if I can find it. Oh, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. How does that happen? That happens by getting in the Word of God and finding out what God wants you to do in this life right now. Just practicing what he teaches us. And you know what? Then he will do the exalting. Then he will do the calling. Then he will do the move. Not everybody's going to be a pastor. Maybe they'll be a teacher, a good a person who is solid in their Bible and they know the scriptures and they're teaching. What is the purpose of someone teaching? The purpose of someone teaching is to bring somebody else along that they might be able to do the work of the ministry. That's why the Sunday school teachers are, that's what they're responsible for, is to teach little children to know, first off, Jesus Christ their Savior. Now, I'm not saying they're responsible to save them, because they can't. All they can do is share the Word of God. And then help them to understand that God's Word's important, and once they put their faith and trust in Christ, that they need to consider to follow Christ. That doesn't mean the ministry is a pastor, evangelist, or a teacher necessarily, although that is the goal, I believe, is to do that. That's why he gave the apostles, evangelists. It's a work. It's a good work. That word ministry is from the root where we get the word deacon from, where he said here that we're to do the work of the ministry. And Paul, it's only used twice in the Bible. And that word means, it's just, it comes from the work that we get the word deacon from the root. But it means attendance, as a servant, service, and aid. And then Paul used this other word one more time. He said, in verse Timothy 1 through 12, he says, or 1:12, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." What is the requirement to be in the ministry? Faithful. Being faithful. That is a requirement to be in the ministry, is to be faithful. That is a good work. Being faithful is a good work. It's a good work to know and follow God. Turn to Philippians for a second. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul's writing to the church there at Philippi. We know this book speaks of joy, but if you read this book closely, that joy is in trusting Christ and living for Him. And there's going to be suffering and persecutions through that whole thing. That's the part that sometimes we don't like, is that suffering and persecution. We don't want, that's our comfort zone. We don't want to step outside our comfort zone. That's why some people will never say anything to a coworker or a neighbor or anything about Christ, because that's taking us out of our comfort zone. Okay? And but God has given us the opportunity to do something that we're not responsible for, and that is to be the messenger and let Him do the work. And that's just amazing that He even did that. But in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, look what Paul writes to these folks that he, on his second missionary journey, went to this location there at Philippi. And these folks put their faith and trust in Christ, and he began a good work here. And he said in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He, talking about Jesus or God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, that work that has begun in us should last until we see Jesus. That's what he's saying. It's till Jesus Christ, or till we see Him again. So this is not something that we retire from or quit from or stop. It's something we do all our lives, because we're different. We're different now. We're not the same people anymore. We made a commitment. In the military, you have to go in, and I don't know how many years it used to be. I think you could go in for 2, 3, 4, 6, or something like that. I can't remember. I signed up for 6. I just took the big chunk because they were offering me some good benefits at the time. But I had to sign up, and you know what I had to do? I did. I had to make an oath, but I had to stay there all 6 years. I signed up, and that was it. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, we're not signing up for 20 years and then retiring. We're signing up for a lifetime, eternal life, right? It's different than anything else on this world or in this world. And so again, as we look at these things that are called good works, we need to understand that God has called us into something special. It's a ministry. And there's not as many as you think, and there's not less than I think, maybe. There are people out there, but there are a lot of people that aren't out there too. A lot of people say they're Christians and are not. A lot of people might be Christians that don't even recognize the name of Christ, and maybe they are. It's that possibility there. We don't know, but we still have to be faithful. Look at what he says after verse 6. He's talked about this, being confident in this very thing, okay, that God hath begun this good work. He says, even as it is meet for me to thank this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. He's pleased that these folks put their faith and trust in Christ. He wants them to continue in this work that they had begun in their lives. And he had confidence in this. He's talking about without offense. He's talking about with, we'll see, I haven't got there yet. And then he goes on verse 8, he says, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In other words, through Christ, He cares for these people. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. He said, in knowledge and all judgment. How are we going to be confident, or how can Paul be confident these people are going to continue in this work that Christ has begun in them? It's because of the knowledge that they're going to get of God, of Jesus Christ. It's that knowledge that brings us closer to Christ. It's studying the Word of God and finding out what His mission is, what His plan is. It's having that personal relationship, like David had such a personal relationship with Christ, and we have record of that. But he's telling us, it's in that knowledge and in all judgment that ye may approve things that are excellent. In other words, don't just go halfway. At work, you don't do it halfway, do you? Do you do just what has to be done and don't do any more? I don't know. Most Christians I know don't do it that way. Shouldn't anyway. When I was in a job, and I'm not toting me because I know you guys are this way too, but I was always looking for something else to do, something else to learn, to grow more in that job. I wanted to do that because I wanted to do that right by my employer. That's the way we should be as Christians as well. And that's what he's saying, is to continue in that, to continue to grow, to do more, to know more about him. Not just do what we have to get by, but that which is excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Jesus Christ. That word offense means sin. without sin until the day of Jesus Christ. So this is a good work for us to follow Christ and to trust Him and to look to Him. Ephesians 5:10 tells us that we're to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. So we need to know what the good is to hold fast to so we can get rid of the stuff that's not good. I hope that makes sense. And it goes back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, where Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, just that's your bottom line service there. And then he tells us how to do that. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, or your mind, that ye may prove what is that good. That's what we're looking for, good works, right? That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's the good works that are the will of God in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21 tells us. And that's what we're seeking. We're seeking to do that. So we're going to go ahead and stop here. But the main point to this whole thing is that as we look to God for good works, the first good work that we each need to understand is putting our faith and trust in Christ. Has there ever been a time that you put your faith and trust in Jesus? When I preach, I don't try to preach anybody out of salvation, but I definitely want them to know that there is a difference between being lost and saved. There's no guessing game to it. There's nothing, I mean, if you're, I'm speaking to the choir here because you're faithful to church and for the most part and those things, so you know what's been said, so you know in your heart that you're saved or not. But there are some here that are not saved. And that is the first good work you can do, is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Believe that He died on the cross for your sins and accept that. And when you do, then you become a Christian. You're a new creature in Christ. But then after that, what is the foundation? What is the basis? It's just doing the will of God. Let's go back to Hebrews and I'll close with that. In Hebrews chapter 13, again, and you can look up all these things. There are a lot more things, and I'm only giving you half the message today, and it's not even the full message. There's a whole lot more. But in Hebrews chapter 13, again, I want to remind us in verse 21. I'll get there someday. Listen to what these words say. He says, and he gives a list of things, and he talks about. In verse 20, he says, now the peace of God that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus are like sheep. He's the great shepherd. He's the one who brought us through this when we accepted Him as our Savior. We are of the sheep, it says. He says, make you perfect. Who's going to make us perfect? It's God. I can't do it. But what does that mean? It means I find out what it is and just do what He says. That's how simple it gets. My problem is I got a mind of my own. That's what I got to fight. He says, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. And that's what the good work is to do the will of God. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to challenge you to get in the Bible, find out what that good work is, and find out what God wants you to do. You know He wants you to tell other people about Jesus. You know He wants you to let your light so shine. You know, we don't want to leave this earth knowing that there was somebody that we rubbed shoulders with day in, day out, and didn't mention Jesus Christ to them. I'm telling you, it's getting a burden on my heart, and I'm just starting out easy with people, but just, hey, God loves you. Jesus died for you. God has a plan. Share John 3:16 or whatever. Let people know. There are Christians out there that want people to know that Jesus loves them and God loves them, and it'll make a difference in their lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word this morning. We thank You for the work that You completed when You were on the cross and You said it is finished. It helps us to realize that what You finished was the opportunity for us who are lost and sinners apart from God to be reconciled to God, to be redeemed, to be brought back through Jesus Christ's shed blood. And Father, I pray that was the case, that is the case for everyone in this room. I believe there are some who are lost, and I pray that you would just work in their heart, help them to understand the message of salvation. Then us who are saved and born again, have the Spirit of God living in us, help us to take the Word of God as a challenge, that it might change us, that we might continue in the good work that Jesus started. And that was to seek and to save that which is lost. Father, have your way now in Jesus' name.